This is a Sports Radio 740 podcast on sportsradio740.com.
Hour number two here of the Budweiser Sports Line with Longshore and McKnight. Glad you are with us here today, and glad Travis Ryer, BamaOnline.com, joining us as well. Hello, Travis. Hope you're doing well today.
Good morning, guys.
The issue of the day is, of course, basketball. Alabama goes to Rupp, and they fall to Kentucky last weekend. Now they come to Auburn on Wednesday. Knowing what you know, seeing what you see, Travis, handicap this game for us. What should it come down to tomorrow night in Auburn?
Well, I think if you're Alabama, you understand the challenge that sort of the three-headed attack in that Auburn backcourt presents with Jared Harper and Mustafa Heron and obviously Bryce Brown, and especially what this Auburn team is capable of from three-point land. So first and foremost, you have to defend the perimeter with extra emphasis tomorrow night, and even with Anthony McLemore out, not a team that you can sleep on the inside either, although in terms of matchups, should be far more favorable for Alabama from that standpoint than what they went against up in Lexington over the weekend. Kentucky's length and size in general, a real problem for most teams, and that was the case for Alabama on the glass against the Cats in that loss over the weekend. So it's interesting because the last time we saw these two teams, no Colin Sexton on the floor for Alabama, Dante Hall in a very limited role, and Alabama still able to get it done. But, you know that building is going to be electric tomorrow night for a multitude of reasons. But certainly an Auburn team looking to nail down a regular season SEC crown, Alabama trying to solidify its place as an NCAA at-large bid team for the tournament coming up. So, it's just a great thing that at this point in the season, late February, there's going to be so much on the line on the basketball court when these teams get together tomorrow night.
Yeah, that is kind of exciting, basketball this late. Not to look ahead, we do here in the media, but boy, this last four games at Auburn, an improving Arkansas squad who's got Kentucky tonight, Florida, who you beat in Gainesville a couple of weeks ago, and then at Texas A&M. Pretty tough way to end the regular season for Avery Johnson.
It just speaks to the league in general this year. Five, 6 years ago, if I told you, a 9-9 SEC team might very well make the NCAA tournament, you'd have laughed at me. And you could be 12-6 four or five years ago, maybe even 13-5, and find yourself on the outside looking in, given the perception, and not just perception, but the reality of where the league was just 5 or 6 years ago. This time around, I think it's a real possibility. So if you're Alabama, you'd love to go down and get the win on the road tomorrow night, and that's obviously the goal. But if Alabama can take care of business at home coming up, as you said, Arkansas really on a run here, flying up the RPI rankings too, and also Florida at home next week, a struggling Florida team. Get to 10 league wins before the SEC tournament, you're going to be in pretty good shape as far as the NCAA tournament goes.
BamaOnline.com, Travis Ryer. The University of Miami announced yesterday evening that Craig Kuligowski, one of the more highly regarded assistant coaches, they say, in college football, is leaving Mark Richt's staff in Coral Gables. Is it your belief that he's leaving Miami to become an assistant coach at the University of Alabama, Travis?
Well, it certainly, when you connect the dots, it's certainly looking that way. There was some mention of Kuligowski possibly with an NFL opening, potentially with the Tampa Bay Bucks. That did not come to fruition, so that kind of leaves Alabama as the option left standing that most would expect Kuligowski to latch on to. And yeah, in terms of resume and credentials, the last 15 plus years, he's been as productive in terms of producing first round picks, defensive players of the year in the Southeastern Conference, you know, just outstanding pass rush numbers in general for his guys at both Missouri and most recently the University of Miami. And, you know, the connections are there. Coached under Gary Finkel at Mizzou. We all know the tie between Finkel and Saban, and Kuligowski played at Toledo, I believe, at the at a time when Saban was there. So, again, everything adds up to Kuligowski filling the vacancy created by Carl Dunbar's departure back to the National Football League.
Yeah, sorry, it played for Saban at Toledo. I was trying to think when I saw that. I don't recall anybody that's been on Saban's staff that actually played for him at one time. Could be wrong, but when I read that, I thought, I can't recall of any other coach on Saban's staff that's been a former player.
In terms of an on-the-field capacity, I'm drawing a blank right now. So I would agree with you without really researching that, but it's kind of gotten to that point, I guess. You know, you hang around long enough, and Nick's now, what, 66 years old? And, you know, we're getting to that point where you're seeing former players sort of roll back around and become a part of his staff.
There used to be a time, Travis, when John knew back in the summer when the dates for spring break were going to be in Alabama. Not only did he know them, but he had them circled with little arrows on his calendar to it. Not really sure about when Alabama's spring break is this year, but we know that spring practice actually starts 1 month from today. Does it wrap around spring break again? Why the late start? Any real thoughts about the upcoming schedule in a month for Alabama and spring practice?
Well, I know when spring break is at UA because I'm going on a cruise.
Oh, nice.
I can definitely tell you when that is. Starts, I want to say, Friday, March 9th is when spring break commences. You know, and I think based on when 8A is scheduled for this year, I believe it's April 21st. And again, when spring break falls, I think we're going to see maybe what we saw a year ago with the spring practice getting underway the 20th after spring break and then go through April with it into 8A. That's what we experienced here a year ago. Maybe the pro day is the week before spring break for Alabama. So those things kind of fall into place. And you know, we have seen in the past where they've had a practice, a single practice before the break. But last year it was pretty much all after the break.
Any more news on the transfer quarterback from East Carolina, Gardner Minshew, I believe it is?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of been a little quiet here in the last week or so. It was definitely a hot topic, you know, for Gardner Minshew and the possibility of him becoming a part of this team in the summer, I guess, because he's back home in Brandon, Mississippi, tending to business there, but it hasn't been as hot of a topic again as it's been here in the as it was in the previous week.
You know, when that first popped up, Travis, you know, people were kind of wondering, you know, why is this guy going to transfer from East Carolina, whatever. I believe, you know, maybe some of it had to do with the fact that they might only have two quarterbacks on the roster at some point in time, maybe after spring or in the summer, possibly, with whatever happens with Jalen Hurts and Tua Tagovailoa. Most teams want to have three on the roster. They've got three now. Could that be the root of some of this? Just in case somebody leaves, you got to have three on the roster?
Yeah, I would think so. I think it would be attrition insurance, I guess you could call it, regardless of what the combination of quarterbacks are after spring, after summer. you know, and Saban is on record. He likes having four guys, but yeah, I mean, you're not going to come in here as a one and done grad transfer, not have the benefit of spring practice, and realistically compete for, I would think, you know, with Tua or Jalen for either of the top two spots, let alone the starting job. So yeah, that would seem to be at least one of the aspects being considered. Again, you've got three scholarship quarterbacks right now, but absolutely, once you get through spring practice and move more into the summer, look ahead to fall camp, that number is subject to change, I would think.
You know, this conversation came up over the weekend with some people, and we were talking about Minshew possibly transferring, why he would, based on his, you know, where he is in his career.
Yeah, he could play for somebody. He's not playing at Alabama unless, like you said, somebody gets hurt and he's, you know, they have to cash in that insurance.
But the conversation expanded into, if Tua is the starter, could Jalen play anywhere else on the field, or would he just be relegated to a backup?
No, I think he could, but I don't necessarily look at an area of this Alabama team for 2018 and say, oh yeah, that's where Jalen could jump right in and make a sizable impact. I think there's roles that you could use him in, maybe packages that you could use him in. But as an every down player at an offensive spot, at a skill spot, you know, not necessarily there yet. I mean, the obvious spot would be running back. But, I mean, you bring back Damian Harris, you bring back Najee Harris, you got Josh Jacobs sitting there. Brian Robinson, in my opinion, is a four-string running back who could start at maybe half of the team's in the Southeastern Conference. I'm that high on him, his potential. So that's not a slam dunk there by any means. I know I've seen H-back and things like that mentioned, but you know that typically ties in with the tight end position. And when you look at that spot, they bring back all five of their tight ends from last season. So, you know, I don't think it's just as easy as saying, well, move him to another position. And when it comes to the National Football League, I don't think it's just a clear-cut choice that if he moves to another position, he's going to help his NFL stock. You know, it may very well be that it's quarterback or bust for Jalen at Alabama. And, you know, that would probably be my advice to him, is just to stay in there and compete, try to maintain the job. If you can, mm-hmm. I still think there's a lot of places where Jalen Hurts can be a very successful college quarterback. You know, and especially in programs that have offenses that really suit his skill set. And when I say that, I'm talking about offenses that are first and foremost zone read offenses in nature. Right now, with what Alabama would like to do, I'm not sure that's the best fit for him. You know, because Nick is obviously trying to maintain and stay connected to some pro principles. And as we've seen, you know, that's not necessarily Jalen's strong suit. What is down in, down out, zone read, RPO style football. You know, if you want to do that on a every down basis, I think Jalen Hurts can be very, very successful in that approach.
But I got to think, Travis, somebody's gotten in his ear and said, hey, you know, there's a pretty good future at this spot, or you can come mm-hmm. down here and play, or boy, there's an opportunity here, you can come sure. run quarterback. So I got to think that's in the back of his mind, and if things don't go maybe to his liking in the spring, and he does elect to move on, Saban could find himself in a very sticky situation with two quarterbacks on the roster.
Oh, there's no doubt. And again, I think that goes back to Nick being adamant about that they're going to go with a grad transfer, whether it's Minshew or someone else. You know, they're going to bring in an experienced guy. And I think Minshew fits for a variety of reasons. First and foremost, you know, obviously he's got a situation at home that is going to require him to, in his opinion at least, be closer to Brandon, Mississippi. You know, if you're going to be in that type of situation and you're not a starter, why not spend that last year at a place like Alabama? You know, and even when you look around Ole Miss, Mississippi State, those aren't, you know, walk in and play type situations right now. Even with Shea Patterson moving on from Ole Miss, Jordan Tamu, I thought, played extremely well when given the chance, and he's back at Ole Miss. Nick Fitzgerald, obviously, at Ole Miss. I'm not exactly sure of the situation at USM, but again, using the SEC schools in his home state as an example, it's not as simple as just grad transferring in and walking straight onto the field. So, yeah, I think knowing that Jalen also has a redshirt year available to him, so if he does transfer, he can sit out the 2018 season and still have two to play. And his father's a coach, so you know they know how this all works. But I think for right now, it's keep your head down, grind, try to win the job in the spring, maintain the job in the spring, and then there will be plenty of avenues and options for Jalen to consider.
Always interesting information.
Yep.
Greatly appreciate that, Travis. How can our listeners get more of the information that you guys provide at BamaOnline.com?
Thanks, guys. Just go to BamaOnline.com or Alabama.247sports.com. Either way.